The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole, 6-0-1-0.
We are on to championship week in fantasy football. Field Yates and Matt Berry hanging out with you. Hopefully all of you that are watching or listening or maybe just downloaded the podcast and aren't actually hearing this audio but are supporting the cause.
Yeah.
All the same are playing in a championship week or maybe perhaps multiple championships upcoming this week.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully you're playing in as many championships as you have league.
Correct. You know somebody who is doing that.
Who's that?
Chapin Yates.
That's right, actually. That's right. So, Chapin, your lovely wife, Chapin, your better half.
Decidedly better half.
By a landslide. I have to say, you know, a lot of times you meet a husband and a wife, and you're like, wow, that is not an equal couple. Like, that one.
We have someone, a reacher and someone, a settler is what we call it.
100%, right? Yeah. You know, a reacher and a settler, and you're like, wow, did that person settle? And I believe the only couple that I'm aware of where I believe one part settled more, the only couple that I'm aware of where there was a one part that settled more than Chapin settled for you,
yeah,
is Beth for me.
All right,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
You and I significantly both outkicked our coverage. So Chapin Yates. How long has Chapin Yates been playing fantasy football?
This is probably her third or fourth season.
Yeah,
doing
third
it
or fourth,
now.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And she is in three leagues, right?
Three leagues, yep.
Three leagues. Now,
yep.
One I know she co-managed
together.
A team.
Yeah, we
co-managed
do.
A team. So tell me about her three leagues very quickly.
So this is the funny part is this. So one league is us, where it's a couples league. So there's 10 separate couples and we've had a lot of fun with it. And,
yep.
We're playing one of our neighbors and good friends in the finals. The second one is a league she has with her high school friends, and what's really cool is that it's actually brought them closer. You know, when you graduate from high school and college and you live in different cities, they're all over the country, which is cool. The best one is the final one, she had sort of a smorgasbord of her friends from college, and basically the policy was like, yeah, if you want to play, just let me know. Next thing you know, she texts me like the night before the draft. She's like, okay, so we have an 18-team league.
Ha!
I'm like, an 18-team league. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, 12 is plenty, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
14's pushing it. 16 is extreme. 18 teams, like, I've never played an 18-team league myself.
Yeah, Chapin didn't realize how popular she was. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, Chapin Yates, who is a dedicated listener of the 06010.
Right. Watcher as well.
Yeah, exit watcher. She is a unbelievably supportive wife. Three playoff appearances, three finals appearances.
Pretty good. Better than her husband, that's for sure.
Shout out to Chapin Yates. By the way, Secret Squirrel, if we could just put in a request, just throw it into the old suggestion box. Like, if we can have Chapin Yates as the co-host next year, I'm down for that.
So do you want to give people advice that actually matters?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, Field and Chapin podcast, that's what you're saying?
That actually would probably do better, by the way. That would probably actually do better.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
History was made last night.
It was. One team showed up.
That's right. But we're going to talk about that in just a second. About a month or so ago, off camera, told Matthew, like, I think we might need to cool it a little bit with the Redskins talk because I get nervous about you. I get nervous that, like, we're going to have a blood vessel pop on live podcasting or you're going to, I don't know, you're going to start sweating feverishly or I'm not sure what you're going to do. Your hair's going to start growing back if you keep talking about the Redskins. And yet, but today, I've decided to make an exception to that rule.
Well, I just, you know what? I just want to wish a happy anniversary to the Redskins organization.
Yeah.
So today is the 10-year anniversary to the day that Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, Mr. Snyder, introduced Bruce Allen as the general manager of the Washington Redskins. So I just...
Congratulations.
10 years ago today.
So 10 years.
So
that's
happy
a long
anniversary.
Time, man, right?
And in that time, he introduced him as, you know, somebody that was going to really continue the winning tradition of the Washington Redskins, who are, you know, my team since I was 5 years old. And you can take a look at me to know that that's a long time ago. It's been a long time. That I've been a Redskins fan. And in the 10 years that Bruce Allen has been in charge of all football decisions for the Washington Redskins, they have a 62-95-1 record. They have a a 396 winning percentage.
Oh, I would imagine that's pretty
fifth
good.
Worst.
Oh, it's fifth worst. Oh, okay.
They're the
good.
Fifth worst team in the NFL over the last 10 years. So it's okay, not like okay. Just a bad stretch or a small sample size. Fifth okay. worst.
Yeah, that's bad.
They have one finish in the top half of the NFC East over the last seven seasons. Top half.
But there's like 20 teams in a division, right?
No, there are four.
Oh!
They have finished in the top two of the NFC East once in the last seven seasons. They're one of six teams that have not won a playoff game in that stretch. Their 621-point differential over the last 10 years is fourth worst in the NFL. And in fact, this year, their negative 9.4-point differential per game is the worst during Bruce Allen's 10-year career.
So they're making progress.
His 10-year reign
right.
as in, being the man in charge of all football decisions and operations for the Washington Redskins. They allow a touchdown on over 36% of drives this year. That is fifth worst in the NFL.
You know, I just thought of something, though. And this is the real icing on the cake. Over the past decade, have the Patriots lost in the Super Bowl at all?
Yes, they have.
Have the Redskins?
No. No. No.
You put it that way.
There you go. We're close.
Mind blown.
The best, listen, you can point to the record and you can point to the winning or the lack of winning. You can point to the fact that what was once a, you know, decade-long season ticket, you know, waiting list is now, you know, you can get into the game for $5.
Right.
Right. And that, you know, there are empty seats and that when you look up and you see in the stands, there are people from pretty much every team but the Redskins in the stands. Right. And so, you know, this week it'll be a bunch of Giants fans.
Right. Well, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe a bunch of like, draft Knicks, right?
Yeah. I mean,
people just want to know where the seating's going to be.
Yeah. A bunch of people that have just been given tickets. just, you know, trying to, have a day in the sun. So, yeah. I mean, it's, I'm told we're close, though.
Right, you're close.
I'm told we're close. I'm told it's a damn good culture.
Okay.
So even though we have not won over the last 10 years, I am told that it's a damn good culture. Hashtag fire Bruce Allen. I love my Redskins. Cannot stand Bruce Allen. Please, I'm begging you, Mr. Snyder, fire Bruce Allen.
Let's move things along then to Monday Night Football. We'll talk about Drew Brees and his remarkable brilliance in just a bit. We begin with the Colts because, well, it could be quick on this one. The Colts were eliminated from playoff contention last night, and Jacoby Brissett, woof, he has been bad recently, huh? Jacoby Brissett's
Dude.
Really struggled over the past four games with just three passing touchdowns. There was a time he was a startable player in fantasy.
He certainly was.
Not so much.
Yeah, look, and they, you know, look, they've had a little bit of a tough stretch here in terms of their schedule. And by the way, credit to the Saints. Like, even the Saints with a decimated defense. Home game, Drew's going to break the record, or at least has a shot to break the record.
Yep.
Monday Night Football, crowds into it. But the Saints came to play, and Jacoby Brissett, whether it's been the lack of T.Y. Hilton, who did return last night, but didn't look like T.Y. Hilton, right? You know, I mean,
didn't even play enough to look like T.Y.
Right.
Weird. We'll talk about that in a second, but weird.
Anyway, so, you know, there've been guys in and out of the lineup for Jacoby Brissett in fairness. He's been without Marlon Mack, you know, who's been in and out of the lineup. So it's, there have been some pieces missing to that offense, but to the extent that you are in the finals and you've been riding Jacoby Brissett, maybe in a deeper league, in a two quarterback league, something like that, I don't see how you can use him.
Yeah, the matchup is good.
The matchup is good. They're home to Carolina next week, and then they're at Jacksonville in week 17. But
let's be honest, no one's really actually riding Jacoby Brissett right now.
No, I mean, listen, I'll tell you. So I'm in the finals. So I'm in this, this 12-team, 33-man roster, it's crazy deep, 12-team, 33-man roster, Dynasty League.
Okay, but that's a very niche-specific.
But I'm just saying, you're just like, no one is. Like, here's my quarterbacks in that league, right? So when I'm in the finals, I just defeated Evan Silva, I'm going to the finals of this thing. It's a super flex, so you can play two quarterbacks. I got Mahomes, okay. But I've just been mixing and matching, given again how deep the league is, I've been mixing and matching at my second quarterback position. I have Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Allen,
mm-hmm.
and Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
Now, Trubisky's at home against the Chiefs, and that's who I'm going to go with, obviously. But, I mean, like...
Right. Again, but
it's dicey,
anyways,
right?
For the very small number of people that are in a situation comparable to Matthews, then maybe you would consider it.
Could be two quarterback leagues. It's two quarterback leagues or super deep leagues.
So Marlon Mack, the problem with Marlon Mack is he is super touchdown dependent. And he is a better player than Adrian Peterson, than... Who did we compare Adrian Peterson to on Monday's Carlos Hyde, right? But he's similar to them in the sense that if he's not getting a ton of carries for a ton of yards and a touchdown, it's really not going to be a worthwhile start for Marlon Mack. He had another woeful night last night. He has 24 carries for 57 yards over the past two weeks. As a matter of fact, 11 carries for 19 yards last night, which I know both you and I were happy to see for the purposes of red zone on Fantasy Football Now.
That's right. You and I, heading into Week 16, tied for first place.
Tied for first
Will Cain and Stefania Bell, I don't know, are they 50 questions behind us?
Yeah, they're like
35, I don't know.
50 minus 48. Yeah,
it might be two questions.
Good drama, though, heading into the final week there on Sunday.
Good drama. Be a lot of fun on Sunday.
But anyway, so Marlon Mack has been bad over the past couple of weeks, Matthew. The matchup is great for this upcoming week, but still, like,
I'm starting him against Carolina.
He's in my top 20.
Gotta be. But I think he'll make the love list this week. I haven't gotten into it, but I bet you Marlon Mack makes the love list for me this week.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The problem with Marlon Mack, or the challenge, is I don't think he's touchdown dependent. I think he's Colts winning dependent. Because the problem is when they get
kinda go
down,
one of the same, though, right?
A little bit, but he can be productive. Like, he's a good enough running back, and they run enough that if a team is winning, like, he could, you know, he can get, you know, 20 for, you know, 115 and, you know, catch a couple of balls or something like that. But if they're not winning,
the catching part, though, he has zero targets over the past two games.
I mean, they haven't really used him. They haven't used him nearly as much in the passing game this entire year. It's been a lot more Nyheim Hines than I think we thought coming into the season.
Yeah.
Because towards the end of last year, they started to use Mack as a true three down back. And he's a good pass catcher. I mean, he did that in college.
Sure, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, the matchup with Carolina is just too good, and
yeah.
But that's my sort of take there. Yeah. Is that ultimately I think Marlon Mack is the Colts need to be winning or at least close, and so you know,
like,
listen,
the Redskins close,
a different kind of close.
Oh, okay.
The Redskins mean close as just an organization. Bruce Allen believes they're close to winning.
Right.
They're close to winning. And they've been that way for 10 years, close to winning. So yeah, I mean, I just feel like because when they fall down behind fall behind like they did last night to the Saints quickly, they just immediately abandon the running game.
Right. Yeah. So it's I agree with what you said. They need to find a way to stay ahead, and the good news
competitive.
Yeah, or at least competitive. And their final two games, I give them a good shot because Carolina and Jacksonville are two opponents you can run the football against. So if you do have Marlon Mack and you're still in the finals, he actually will be a usable part of your roster. I'm not sure that T.Y. Hilton will be, though, Matthew. Frank Reich made a comment during the week that if T.Y. Hilton played, that he would not be on a pitch count and he would be 100%. And yet last night, he played just 50% of the snaps. He ran a certain number of routes. I'm not sure exactly how many it was. But this is his first reasonably healthy game since week 8 for T.Y. Hilton. Not a great night, though, for fantasy football purposes.
Certainly not. I mean, you like the 9 targets, but 4 for 25 isn't getting it done. Now, he saw a decent amount of Marshawn Lattimore in this, and it was his first game back, and we just talked about it. Jacoby Brissett did not play well.
He did not play well. So maybe this goes back to just like, you know, I keep talking myself out of the Colts, but maybe I have to talk myself right back into T.Y. Hilton.
Think about this. So next week, they're home to Carolina.
Right.
Brissett generally plays better at home. And certainly Hilton does. Throughout his career, Hilton has always been much better on the turf and at home, and so does he see some James Bradbury? I'm sure. And we like Bradbury, but none of us think he's a shutdown corner, right?
Sure.
I think he's a step below.
Yep.
He's a nice player. I think he's an above average corner. I think he's a very good player. I just don't think you don't bench your stud just because he's facing James Bradbury.
Correct.
And so my expectation is that, again, 9 targets, I feel like you're probably, it depends on your options, and you see where we come in with the ranks, and he's going to be lower than I think probably where you drafted him. You know, he's probably drafted, again, depending on if you drafted before or after Andrew Luck retired, but, you know, T.Y. Hilton probably,
wide receiver? Maybe 18.
Yeah, I was going to say top 17. You know, he was sort of he was somewhere in that 12 to 17 range
during
the drafts, and I think he's probably a top 22 wide receiver this week, somewhere like that. He's somewhere in that 18 to 22 range this week. So depends on what you did here.
Zach Pascal, 4 for 44 last night. Fine, whatever. Jack Doyle, 2 for 21 last night.
I was just going to say, Jack Doyle was the surprising one. And second bad game in a row. He's now had, you know, he had that huge game. Was it like Tampa Bay? Was that the
probably.
Game?
Probably Arizona. They probably didn't play Arizona, but if they
did. He had like a big game a couple of weeks ago, and we were all like, yeah, Jack Doyle, the Eric Ebron, connection with Brissett, tight end one the rest of the way.
Gonna new be contract, top 10. $21 million
It was against the Titans. And since that time, hasn't really done much. In fact, I think he actually sort of kind of laid a little bit of an egg against Tampa Bay, which we expected that to be obviously a big game.
2 for 27 against the Bucks, and then 2 for 21 last night after that big game.
Yeah.
No bueno.
So, nice job there, Daniel Dopp.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
way to go.
Yeah.
Secret Squirrel.
Every once in a while, Secret Squirrel like decides to stop talking with Keith or, texting his buddies or, websites for crappy bands you never heard of.
That's not even what I'm doing.
The show.
I'm looking up my warlock in my D&D campaign just leveled up to a level 3. So I'm trying to figure out which.
Congratulations. That's awesome. You are also close.
I get three new cantrips. I'm trying to figure out which cantrips I want and an additional spell slot. So I'm trying to figure out which spell I want to use.
Yeah. Obviously.
I can't tell if he's being serious or not right now. And I think he is.
I will tell you this. That was way too specific to have just been made up.
Right. You're definitely not kidding.
No, I don't know that he's actually doing that now, but I'm just telling you that's way too specific to have just been made up.
I did not know you were a D&D guy. I learned something.
Yeah. Just became a D&D guy. Then the last 6 months, I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun.
Should I indulge?
You should play. You would have a ton of fun.
Yeah. Me. Do I strike you as the kind of D&D guy?
I think that everybody
more
is the kind
of D&D guy.
Ooh. Nice. Yeah, that was good.
You know that fantasy football feeling when the excitement for a new week builds? Like the championship week! You flex your analytical skills by pouring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. Well, what if I told you that you could use those skills to invest and feel the same sense of anticipation every day? TD Ameritrade thinks, well, you can. That's because a lot of those same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money so you can practice trading risk-free and charting to help you spot trends in the market. They'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. That's tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC. It was an incredible game last night from Drew Brees. I don't even have the words. Like, I'm sort of at a loss for words over what he did. Not a misread right here. Drew Brees went 29 for 30.
Dude.
307 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 28.3 fantasy points.
Should have been 5.
Should have been 5. Really should have. Well, I guess, yeah, it should have been 5.
No,
I was going to say,
they kicked the field goal.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a touchdown called back on an OPI.
Of ticky-tack. The ticky-tackiest of OPIs. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Traquan Smith, we thought he had broken the record with the second touchdown to Traquan Smith.
Yep.
And it got called back by an OPI at the end of the first half. Will Lutz kicks a field goal. So honestly, should have been 5 touchdown passes here.
Yeah, he is incredible. He was incredible. Of course, he became the NFL's all-time leader for career regular season passing touchdowns, a mark that he passed Peyton Manning for. He's, I think, two ahead of Tom Brady now. So, 3 of the GOATs, all doing huge things. Drew Brees continues to be awesome, especially at home. The final 2 games for New Orleans are on the road, but he's a QB1. Alvin Kamara was good enough, Matthew. Wasn't great, but good enough. 13.9 fantasy points, did not score, but he had 5 catches for 23 yards. You know, it's funny. He's definitely not anything. I mean, he is a low-end RB1, probably in terms of total points for this season. But week to week, his output generally ends up being what feels like more of an RB2. Yeah, that makes sense. It's weird.
Yeah, well, you know, and they showed this graphic on the game last night. It was like, you know, here's a guy who had 18 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
He's got 2.
It's insane.
The odds of that a relatively healthy, now I know Kamara missed a couple of games, but the odds that a relatively healthy Alvin Kamara would only have 2 touchdowns as we head into week 16.
Ridiculous.
Insane. Especially because, by the way, this is an offense that is, and I know, Drew Brees missed a chunk of time as well, but they still moved the ball with Teddy Bridgewater. They were fine.
Yeah. It's crazy. Daniel has a question.
I do have a question. I just want to know, understanding where he is right now, is he going to be a first rounder next year?
Probably.
Yeah.
Even with the other wide receivers and potentially
Lamar
Jackson.
You guys are so eager to get to 2020. I'm so locked in. I'm trying to get to Christmas. All this 2020 talk already. I like it.
I'm just saying.
I'm just behind
If you've drafted Alvin Kamara, you are so disappointed with where it's at. And his yards per catch continue to go down. Like, there's nothing. Not getting in the end zone. I don't want to say that, like, what's Mark Ingram left it.
I mean, it's, you know, just thinking off the top of my head, just go back and forth real quick here. Clear cut, you can, I just say you can add names. Obvious first round picks for me next year, let's do 10. Christian McCaffrey will definitely be drafted in the top 10. I'd imagine that Dalvin Cook will be drafted in the top 10. Ezekiel Elliott will be drafted in the top 10.
Saquon Barkley.
Okay. Yeah, Saquon, but Saquon's kind of like, as if we're not sure that Alvin Kamara that should be drafted in the first round. Yes, Saquon Barkley should be drafted in the first round. I think Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, for sure. And then, I don't know, I mean, like, would you say for sure Aaron Jones? Like, do you believe in him? DeAndre Hopkins, do you buy into him? Like,
yep. So I'll tell you my top. So I released my way too early top 50 for 2020 last week. As hustler. The intro
You're
to my love hate, and nothing good comes from hustling. So, and I might if I was doing that intro for this week, I might re-rank them. But here's what I had, just first blush. You
one
tell
through
me,
10. Okay.
Okay, 1 through 10. McCaffrey at 1, Dalvin Cook at 2,
okay,
Zeke at 3,
okay,
Michael Thomas at 4,
okay,
Kamara at 5.
See, Daniel,
wow,
you big moron.
And here's who I've got after me.
Just
tell
keep
me who
going.
You would
just
put.
Keep going.
Okay. Just tell me who you would put above Kamara. Barkley at 6.
Yep.
DeAndre Hopkins at 7. Derrick Henry at 8. And that depends if he's back with the Titans or where he goes, but Derrick Henry at 8.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill at 9. Melvin Gordon at 10.
Yeah, Gordon's a tricky one for me.
Yeah, Gordon's one that's definitely going to change
depends
because
of where, he goes.
Where does Leonard Fournette fall for you with all the volume he's been getting in the passing game this year?
I put Fournette at 20. I still think that team's a mess. I still think he's still an injury risk.
Chris Carson could be an interesting one to have in the top 10. I mean,
I have
really
Chris Carson
good.
At 16.
Kamara is absolutely fantastic. It's that regression of not being able to get in the end zone. His yards per reception have just continued to go down. He's not breaking big plays like he used to, but we could say the same thing about Saquon.
You know what? We could joke. We could joke and have fun with this, but if David Johnson's traded and Kenyon Drake's clear cut number one.
Oh, man.
Sure. 100%. So here's the rest of my top 10. Here's the rest of my top 20. You tell me if there's anyone you think you would leap over them, right? Davante Adams at 11. I mean, right? Lamar Jackson at 12. That was the toughest one for me. Like, what do you do with Lamar Jackson?
For right now, you have to leave it there. Yeah. You have to.
Godwin at 13.
The God.
Yep. Josh Jacobs at 14.
Yep.
Aaron Jones, 15.
Like it.
Chris Carson at 16.
Yep.
Nick Chubb at 17.
That's the only one that maybe we need to have a lot higher.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on Hunt, right? It depends
Hunt
on
has
if
taken
Kareem
away.
Hunt,
I mean, since Kareem Hunt has come back, has Chubb's efficiency not fallen a little bit?
Not at all.
I mean, he's been very good. It's the passing game usage. If they keep Kareem Hunt, like, the only thing is like, last week Kareem Hunt played more snaps than Nick Chubb. But you may be right. I might be too low on Nick Chubb. Julio at 18.
Yep.
Todd Gurley at 19.
Yep.
Fournette at 20.
Yeah, I would make a case for Joe Mixon because I've been encouraged by what I've seen recently. And if they had a competent offensive line,
yeah, I mean,
we'll see, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have Mixon at 25. Could he leap up? Sure, of course, if they improve that offensive line. I have Kelsey at 21. You can make an argument for him higher.
Right.
Mike Evans, I have at 23. If we feel good about his recovery,
it's a strain. It's just a, you know, there's three weeks left in the season, you know?
Yeah. You know, he could go up a little bit as well. And so there's so much to be done. There as well. Listen, I mean, I have Juju at 27, but assuming a fully healthy Ben back.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, right? I know. So it was a tough exercise, honestly, to go through it and sort of think about this. And so, Thirsty Kyle notes on the screen, he just throws this up here, that since Kareem Hunt came back, Nick Chubb is the 7th best running back in terms of total points.
So it's not that much of a drop.
No, it isn't. I might be too low on Nick Chubb. I think you're
How
think
dare
you're
you
right.
screw up your ranks in December?
But where would you put him higher then? Put him higher than Chris Carson?
You know, the player that stuck out to me like a sore thumb there was Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. My assumption is that he's going to go somewhere really good.
Okay.
That he's going to be the guy.
Got it.
You know, because anyone that pays him is going to want to pay him to be... Yeah. The guy, I agree with you. Melvin Gordon could be all over the...
Yeah, I think he's bound for a one-year contract somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. We'll see.
You follow that stuff a lot closer than I do. That's part of your NFL insider job. But it'd be interesting. That list will change a billion times between now and, you know,
in the interest of trying to get to things that we haven't talked about a ton, because we could talk about Mike Thomas all the time, by the way. We could talk about Michael Thomas forever.
But what my question to you was going to be is, like, you just heard me do this list. I have Michael Thomas at number 4 overall, the number 1 wide receiver, number 4 overall. Am I too low on Michael Thomas?
Maybe. It just depends. Like, it probably depends on a couple of indicators going in. Probably not, because running backs are so valuable.
Right.
But if someone takes Michael Thomas, number one overall, he's what Antonio Brown was for all those years that he was in Pittsburgh. That, like, you can take him number one. Could somebody prove to be more valuable? Yes. But is there a more secure option at number one overall than Michael Thomas going into next year? And the answer is perhaps no.
At least 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown in 4 of his past 5 games.
We don't even need the words.
He's done 8 for 100 and a touchdown 4 times in the last 30 days. No one has done it 4 times this entire year.
Right. He's amazing. He's amazing. He gets better by the week.
The only concern to Michael Thomas, and not even that big a one, but for me, the only concern on Michael Thomas would be if Drew Brees retires.
I know, but
that
you're
If the Saints win the Super Bowl this year, you could see a scenario in which Drew Brees says, you know what?
I'm good.
Like, I'm going to go out
right
a winner.
Right off into the sunset.
Right off into the sunset and maybe right into the Monday Night Football booth. Who knows? Right?
You saw what happened when he was out earlier this year, though, right? I mean, do you know what happened when Teddy Bridgewater played for 5 games?
Nothing to Mike Thomas, right? Exactly.
So
that's
why I'm not really that concerned about it. Hey, Jared Cook had 4 for 54 last night. He has at least 50 receiving yards in 4 straight games. Not bad from Jared Cook. We got a bunch of news to get to. Before we do that, Matthew, a word from you on ZipRecruiter.
Yes, a word from me on ZipRecruiter. You know who I wish would use ZipRecruiter?
My Washington Redskins.
You guys are simpatico right now.
Because hiring is challenging.
It is hard.
I mean, it's been tough. It's been tough for Mr. Snyder,
right,
obviously, at the general manager, vice president of football operations position. And there's probably only one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart.
Right.
And growing businesses connect to qualified candidates.
Got it.
Candidates, you know? So, like, Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner,
she
experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. You, too, can do that as well by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. So if Mr. Snyder went to ZipRecruiter and said, I need someone to run this offense, to run this team, this franchise, then that would be great. And what would happen is he would use ZipRecruiter screening questions to filter candidates. In fact, Gretchen, she found it easier to focus on the best ones, and then you find the right one. In fact, after Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter, she said she was honestly surprised she found so many qualified applicants so quickly. She hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. The Redskins could have a new GM literally by the end of today. If Dan Snyder is listening to this right now, he could sign up for ZipRecruiter this morning. We could have a new general manager or vice president of operations literally within 24 hours.
But how much does it cost?
It's for free.
Oh, it's
free. You can sign up for free. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at their web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Right?
06010.
Okay, and it's very weird. It says spell out
06010. That was on me. I will say that one.
Daniel's playing hurt. This is his Michael Jordan flu game.
It's a little bit. Anyway, ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
To be fair, Matthew, we just started doing these ZipRecruiter reads this week.
This is the first time you've ever put it this way. I don't know if maybe the ad salespeople were like, you know, had given some direction or something like that. Literally, like, look at that field. That's different than how it ever has been, right?
I don't know.
Spell out, and then it says 0-N-E-O-N-E-I.
Onio.
Yeah, I mean, it's
06
like,
Onio.
It's weird.
First, Al would have nailed that one. Let's get to some news here, and we'll begin with Dallas. And I want to be quick on this because I think it's a non. I'm telling you, it's a non-story. Troy Aikman made a reference to Dak Prescott having some sort of fracture in his finger on the broadcast. And Troy obviously is tapped in with Dallas. It's since been clarified that I think basically what happened was, you know how like sometimes your finger gets jammed in the door, whatever happened, you know, you stub your toe, but you do it with your finger instead and you get a bloody nail and it just looks ugly and nasty for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think what happened with Dak Prescott. Might have been on a helmet or something to that effect. But this happened before the game last week against the Rams, Matthew. So if the question is whether this impacts Dak at all, the answer is no. Did you watch him this past week? It was the best week of the season for the Cowboys. They were awesome. They play the Eagles and then the Redskins. No concerns for me on any Dallas skill player because of this news.
Yeah, the only counter to that is they went very run heavy. Now they also got up big in this game.
Yeah,
quickly,
because they were. Why wouldn't they? I mean,
right?
Did it impact Dak at all?
It did not impact Dak to the extent that we know of, but it certainly impacted Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup.
No,
to the
you
extent
got Jalen
that they
Ramsey'd.
Neither of them did anything.
Right. I mean, well, you know who did stuff, though? Jason Witten had a big game. Blake Jarwin had a big game. Tavon Austin had a wide-open throw. There is no evidence whatsoever that this impacted Dak Prescott. There's zero.
I agree with that. And you certainly love the matchup this week against the Philadelphia Eagles secondary that has struggled all year long. So, yes, you're starting Dak Prescott this week. I wouldn't worry about the fracture on the finger, but it's good to address just because that news is out there.
Okay, so Will Greer, here's quarterback news that actually might impact wide receiver rankings. Will Greer is expected to start in Week 16 for the Panthers. Does this alter your rankings at all of DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, or Greg Olsen, who, by the way, has cleared the concussion protocol, according to Greg Olsen himself? DJ Moore has been incredible since Week 9 specifically, but really the entire year. My contention, Matthew, is it does not. Kyle Allen has struggled in a major way over the past month or so, which is the reason why they're making this switch to Will Greer, their third-round pick out of West Virginia.
Yeah, the truth is we just don't know. I think you have to operate under the assumption that Will Greer is going to run the Carolina offense, and the Carolina offense is obviously starts with Christian McCaffrey, and then the first read on most pass plays is DJ Moore, and they use their tight end. It's a Norv Turner offense, and so. But we just don't know. We don't know what Will Greer is going to look like. Yeah. The expectation is that he will be competent. I mean, again, when we think about, David Blough, right? Kenny Golladay, everyone's like, oh boy, third string quarterback against the Bears on a short week. Oh boy.
Right.
First play, Kenny Golladay, touchdown, right?
Yep.
Think about Brandon Allen, like, oh God, is this going to kill Cortland Sutton? No.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or even Drew Lock, right? Same thing. It doesn't matter who's been quarterbacking for Cortland Sutton. He's been productive. And I would agree with you that I don't think they're putting Will Greer out there if he's going to be significantly worse than Kyle Allen. Yep. You have to figure that's the baseline, right?
Plus, this is, if it is, by the way, it's an interim head coach. Like, he's not doing this to, evaluate for the future. Perry Fuel probably won't be there next year, right?
Right.
So, if anything, this sounds like he might actually be pretty close to Kyle Allen. He just hadn't been there when they made the switch or after Cam got hurt initially. So, subsequently, we now have Will Greer for the next 2 weeks.
Well, and by the way, to be fair here, Kyle Allen beat out Will Greer in training camp.
Yes,
he was the better quarterback in the preseason. He filled in for Cam Newton, did well.
Right.
And then the very first game, they won.
Right.
And actually, they had a nice winning streak under Kyle Allen. So, I mean, it makes sense that I understand he struggled recently, but he had a real nice stretch there. I'm a Kyle Allen apologist.
Sure.
I will just say that.
Yeah.
And there's no question that the play has deteriorated, but it's, I don't know how much of that is all on Kyle Allen. Some of it is for sure, but I don't know that all of it is. But regardless, I'm with you. There's a little bit of, maybe it's YOLO here from the Carolina Panthers, but whatever. To the extent you've been starting DJ Moore, you're starting him again to obviously McCaffrey as well. Olsen is a tight end streamer, and it just sort of depends on the depth of your team and the size of your league as to whether or not Curtis Samuel gets a start.
So Josh Gordon was suspended again yesterday by the NFL. This one was indefinitely for violating the substance abuse and PED policy. Does this impact the value of DK Metcalf at all, Matthew, or is this sort of a non-needle mover in your opinion?
I think this is a slight, I think it's a slight uptick, but, not a significant uptick in terms of reality in that, am I suddenly starting DK Metcalf in a league where I normally wouldn't? No.
Yeah.
So I think there's an uptick in production, right? So when Josh Gordon was on the field this year, DK Metcalf averages 11.9 yards per catch. He has a touchdown every 12 catches. Without Gordon on the field, 16.9 yards per catch, a touchdown every 8 catches. So certainly there's more production, there's longer throws. But my point is that if my team wasn't normally starting DK Metcalf, I don't think this news is enough to be like, oh, now I'm suddenly starting him.
Great.
So I will rank him higher than I did last week because there's no Josh Gordon, but I'm certainly not going to tell people that, if he didn't crack your lineup before, And he probably should have, by the way. He's been very good. But if he didn't crack your lineup before, I don't know, this bumps him up enough that he suddenly needs to.
Last piece of news here, and this is just sort of an FYI because waivers are running tonight. Greg Zuerlein is banged up with a hamstring issue right now for the Rams. So they might sign a new kicker if you're interested. Just an example of a few names that are available in over 50% of leagues. Younghoe Koo for the Falcons, who has been very good for them since signing. Chris Boswell, who's over the past 4 weeks tied for the fifth best output of all kickers. He's available in 55%. He plays for the Steelers. And Austin Seibert, the Browns rookie kicker out of Oklahoma, is available in 70% of leagues. Just an FYI. FYI for those that might be riding Greg the leg at their kicker spot up to this point this season.
There you go. All right, Field Yates, you are the author.
We're going to do it 1 second.
Yeah, all right, fine.
We're going to talk about waivers in 1 second. But first, a quick break. JK, we'll go right back to it. Time now for some waivers.
You're in the hole 6010.
As you were.
Field Yates, you are the author of Free Agent Finds, our waiver wire column on ESPN.com. It is up now on ESPN.com and in the ESPN app. Of course, I'm a company man.
Nope. We've done this 100 times.
Gotta wait till the song's over.
I'm riding the fader down, and I can't do both of them at the same time. Still riding it. Hold on.
Hang on. I feel like there's one little drop. All right. Now. Good Lord.
He's Field Yates.
Hold on. Well, it's Field's column.
I understand, but like I was...
Congratulations, Matthew.
We got
4 shows left.
You know what? You know how Jordan's flu game?
Uh-huh.
And he was amazing.
It's Daniel
this is
right
not
now.
This is not your flu game.
Well, it's debatable.
I mean, you're sick, but I'm just saying Jordan came in and performed above expectation.
If you think the internet doesn't love when either Field or I troll you, you are wrong.
Yeah,
my friend.
Correct. The internet.
Those who download, those who watch.
Yeah. They're all in our corner on this one, unfortunately.
I can report from back here that they're clamoring for more.
More okay. Trolling of me?
Yeah. So good. Sorry.
The thing is, even when Matthew wants to get mad.
The director didn't have it on you, but Daniel just did one of these. He was literally pointing to himself.
Meme him. Gift me. I need that to be gifted.
All right.
Gifted.
Free agent finds. Adam Schefter last night on Monday Night Football and also on Twitter reporting the news that he said he would be surprised if we saw Dalvin Cook play again in the regular season.
Right, significant news there, huh?
Yep. That obviously opens up an opportunity for some running backs.
Yes, it sure does. And so we talked a little bit yesterday on the show about how we think that Mike Boone could be a league winner for you if you're playing in the finals. Alexander Mattison and Mike Boone, though, both need to be added. They both are backup running backs for the Vikings. Reminding people that there are just 2 teams left playing in your league. In theory, you might have a chance at claiming both of these players off of waivers. If Dalvin Cook is unable to play, but Alexander Mattison is able to play, then Mattison is the clear-cut priority. The problem is we have no idea right now. And Mattison did not practice at all this past week, which is why you need to be adding Mike Boone as well, who would presumably take over as the starter. I think that while we would probably have an indicator if the Vikings made some sort of running back move this week that like at least one of those guys is going to be out. The problem is this. They already have 5 running backs on their roster.
They have CJ Ham.
Yep.
They have Amir Abdullah.
Correct.
And
Boone and Mattison, and Cook. It's really difficult to carry 6 running backs on your roster and be thin somewhere else. So
And CJ Ham's more of a fullback.
He's a fullback, but he might be the best fullback in the league this year. One of the very best in the league this year. He gets some carries. He can impact the passing game as well. So they have sort of an insurance policy there if need be. So the point is this, and it's simple. Add Alexander Mattison, add Mike Boone. If you can add both, I think it's worth it. As you said yesterday on the show, you should be adding just 2 things to your roster, right? Guys who can help you. And guys that you don't want your opponent to have, right?
Right. And if a player on your team doesn't qualify for one of those 2 things, that he's playing for you this week or that he would help your opponent get rid of him.
And by the way, play some defense too. If you are the lower seeded team in the finals, and even if, let's say that you've been carried by Christian McCaffrey and Nick Chubb and Aaron Jones, those are your three running backs, like, you're not going to play either of those Vikings backups ahead of those players. But if you're the lower seed, play defense.
Yeah,
go add Alexander Mattison or Mike Boone.
I have no issue with that. Remember, the Vikings second in rush percentage this season. Yeah. Whoever is going to be the starting running back for the Vikings on Monday will have a lot of value in a game against the Packers. So Fantasy Trends, by the way, is Fantasy Trends is brought to you by TD Ameritrade. So Field, talk to us about Breshad Perriman, who had himself a day on Sunday.
That's right. Breshad Perriman filled in for the Buccaneers. He was the number two wide receiver to begin the game. He had five catches for 113 yards and three touchdowns. Chris Godwin looks unlikely to play this Saturday against Houston. It's the ninth time this season a Tampa Bay wide receiver has finished top six at the position. He certainly has a chance to be very relevant over the next couple of weeks. It is definitely risky because Breshad Perriman has been, he was a first round pick and never met expectations in Baltimore.
Yeah, but no risk it, no risk it.
No risk it, no risk it, Daniel. I agree with you. He is ranked inside my top 30 for wide receivers this week. Now, can I ask something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask something?
Yep.
Just a moment ago, I don't think it caught the audio here on the podcast.
Okay, yep.
You must have had some sort of alarm set.
Yep.
Because just a few moments ago.
Yeah, it was supposed to be on silent, and I didn't. It was. I thought I had it on silent.
Okay, but there are a couple of great things here.
Yeah,
so the alarm went off at 10:40, okay? Yeah. And it went off at 10:40, which I don't know why you'd have an alarm on for the show, in the middle of the show.
Okay.
Second of all.
It's a Metamucil check.
Oh, that's what it was. I know what it was. Good tweet. Go follow at Matthew Berry TMR on Twitter.
I'll tell you exactly. So feel free to go through this whole thing. So I'll tell you exactly.
The part that I like though is, so you pay yours off and I'll pay my off because I love your alarm noise.
Right. So I set an alarm because I don't know how to do scheduled tweets. Like I just don't, I know there's people that know how to do that and I just haven't figured out how to do that yet. And I do surprisingly run my own social media, which I also probably should not do, but whatever. I do. And so, the Redskins tweeted out 10 years ago today. At 10:41 a.m., a tweet from the Washington Redskins. And the tweet read, I'll get it for you, hashtag Redskins owner Daniel M. Snyder on Bruce Allen hire. Quote, Bruce Allen is the personification of an NFL winner. Close quote. And that is from the official Redskins Twitter handle. And that was literally 10 years ago on this day at 10:41 a.m. So I wanted to retweet that at literally the exact, 10 years ago to this minute. That tweet obviously did not age well. So I had set my alarm to do that. I thought I'd set it on silent, so my apologies there.
But hold on. So not only did we learn that you set an alarm, but is your alarm All Night Long by Lionel Richie?
It is. It is. It's actually, it's a cover version of All Night Long. It's Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett did a version of All Night Long with Lionel Richie.
That is amazing.
So it's a co thing. And it's, That's the song. Just because I don't know why, but like my daughter was screwing around with my phone, and like I was trying to come up with an alarm sound. Like when you first get a phone, and my daughter was there with me.
An alarm. You just turn on the alarm, and it automatically plays.
No, I know,
alarm
but you
sound.
Can play. You can pick a song.
You can pick songs out of your library.
You can pick a song, and so my daughter, and this was literally like 2 or 3 years ago. So my daughter at the time was like 4 or 5. It was quite a few years ago, and she just sort of hit a button. Like I have that song on my iPad, obviously. Like on my iPhone, I have pretty much every Jimmy Buffett song in my phone. And so she just hit that, which makes sense All Night Long because it's one of the first ones up.
Sure.
And so, and my daughter actually loves Jimmy Buffett. And so she was like, oh, keep that one. And I'm like, okay. And so I've kept that one the whole time because it's I like the song. It's fun. It's like the way it starts is, very, I probably can't play it.
I can't play it.
But it,
she could probably help you with your scheduled tweets then if she was able to figure that out.
She's running my TikTok account.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, I posted my first TikTok yesterday.
Did you really?
I posted
TikTok. What was it?
It was so Norby Puppet on the Fantasy Show. We have a bunch of puppets. So Norby Puppet, we were waiting to do a sing, and Norby started. We were waiting to do a scene, and in between breaks, Norby Puppet started singing, and so I That's what it was. It's 15 seconds of a puppet singing.
He was in the holiday season singing a holiday song.
I'm really proud of you. I don't even have the app myself, so that's I'm very
proud.
It
took me a while to figure out how to post it.
Well done there. Let's move things along here, and I'll just sort of pick it up.
By the way, I'm impressed that you realized that was all night long, because I immediately cut it down. Like, you got like two notes in.
Weird, and I don't know.
I can name that song in three notes.
It was impressive.
Do you know that game, Field?
But that's, yeah. I feel like that's a songs have like oddly identifiable beginnings to them. Is that like, yeah. Sometimes what I
that
do.
That one has a very specific, it's yeah. Like, it's sort of the, there's like a Caracas or something like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, an, yeah.
I'm not ashamed to admit there has been a time in the past where like I put my iTunes on shuffle and I'm sort of not knowing what song specifically I want in mind, but wanting a good song. And I'll sort of test myself, like, as I'm going through like songs, like, how quickly can I identify what song is up next? Now, it's my own library, so I do know.
Sure,
you
know, sure. Sort
of I love you so much right now. I swear to you on my life, I do that same thing with my best friend.
Really?
We'll just put like our iPod on shuffle, and then, because it's songs that is in our library, and it's like, all right, you have 5 seconds to figure out which song this is or which band it is.
Yeah.
It's just like a way to like test yourself of like, do I really know the music I have?
I'm telling you, they're weird.
So much
it's
fun.
Weird to do it with a friend. I get Field doing it just to like
especially
kill time. Like, I'll do that in
like
the car
on a road
too.
Trip.
I get that. I do that too. Yeah. But with a friend?
All right. You do that too?
Sure.
Everything's got to be. Everything. It's just, why can't Field and I just have a thing?
Fine. Have your thing.
Dang, you know, I love it. Thing. You do that.
Whatever.
All right. A couple more waiver wire ads. I'll rip through them quickly.
All night long.
Oh, no.
We can't. Yeah. We can't. We
have to pay. Is that Lionel Richie in the studio?
Huh?
It's actually
Lionel.
Greg Ward Jr. of the Eagles is a great story, from the AAF to wide receiver stardom. Well, maybe not stardom, but still, he has become the Eagles. Well, I don't know about the best wide receiver, but perhaps their best wide receiver that is healthy right now. He had 7 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. He's got back-to-back games with 9 targets. So if you're looking for somebody in a deep league and you're hoping that the Eagles can take advantage of 2 more favorable matchups down the stretch, Greg Ward fits the bill, especially with no Nelson Agholor if he sits on Sunday for the Eagles. Chris Conley for the Jaguars, available in over 80% of leagues. So I was going to really highlight this in the event that DJ Chark is unavailable on Sunday, but it sounds like Chark is going to be ready. But Conley's been solid for the Jaguars this season.
2 touchdowns last week.
Yeah, so probably not usable in fantasy this week, but a name to keep in mind in case something happens with Chark during practice and he has a setback.
Yeah, deeper league, you know, guy. It'd be interesting. One other name that I think is sort of interesting.
Yeah.
Is Justin Watson in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mentioned him on the column as like what you're going to say probably.
Right, which is, I mean, look, we know Evans is out. We think it's likely Chris Godwin is out. Scotty Miller left the game with an injury last week as well. Yep. And so it's really Breshad Perriman against the Texans, who are so brutal against the pass. We expect more O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, but we know.
You know what, though? Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
We hope for more O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. We don't expect anything. Nothing
fair.
As it pertains to O.J. Howard.
100% fair. Exactly right. So Justin Watson, who has flashed at times, didn't do a lot this last week. I think he had 2 catches or something like that. But just an interesting guy. Like, again, you'd have to be super deep and desperate. But there are people out there like that.
Yes. One more here, and then we'll get to some social questions. James Washington for the Steelers. This is a deeper league consideration. There's some risk here. I'm not super inspired by this passing offense in Pittsburgh, as is the case with everybody, but it's a good matchup on Sunday at the Jets, who are obviously very limited in their secondary, and Washington is coming off of 5 catches for 83 yards on a career-high 10 targets, and he's averaging nearly 18 yards per catch this season. Doesn't need a ton of volume to be fantasy relevant. Before we get to our social questions, Daniel Dopp, tell us a little something about a little something.
This new branded commercial segment has been brought to you by Old Spice Sweat Defense and their longtime NFL spokesperson, Ricky Montez Sweat, who they've always been a fan of and never once would run any other ads to the contrary.
Never.
In fact, Old Spice wouldn't even consider a person named Sweat and real Sweat as the same thing. That would just be crazy. Reminding you that Montez Sweat name is Sweat. He plays defense, and Old Spice Sweat Defense is the superior defense against Sweat. Isn't that a great coincidence? All right, that's it for now. Okay, thanks. Bye.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all-about-me promo.
FantasyLife.com is where you can get all of your holiday shopping done. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, kids, coworkers, everyone in your fantasy league. We have stuff for losers. We have stuff for winners. We have stuff to celebrate Field Yates and Stefania Bell and Secret Squirrel and the 06010. We have trophies. We have hoodies. We have tumblers. We have hats. We have T-shirts, sweatshirts, literally cornhole board games, like cornhole games. Like, it's unbelievable what we have there. FantasyLife.com. And if you use the promo code playoffs with an S, playoffs 15, you get 15% off again. So we've got winner trophies. We've got loser trophies. We've got loser trophies with my face on it. Get more losery than that. So, anyway, it's a bunch of great stuff. I encourage you to check it out. We can get it to you by the holidays as well. So, FantasyLife.com.
Not cool, Keith. All right, guys. Three questions for you.
Okay.
Chris wants to know, where does Jameis slot this week if Godwin sits? He says he has Wentz as another option.
Well, I'm expecting Chris Godwin to sit. I think almost everybody is. Top 10 play for me still. Jameis, and I understand the concern. It's a legitimate question this week. But I would be playing Jameis over Carson Wentz, personally.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I mean, listen, Wentz had the three touchdowns, and he's been on a little bit of a nice stretch here. But, I mean, you're sitting here saying, like, I don't know if I want to start Jameis Winston because he's without Evans and Godwin. I'd rather start Wentz, who's without Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar. And honestly, I'd rather face the Texans secondary than the Cowboys secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the Cowboys secondary isn't great, and I would also say is, like, I just rather the – because we don't know. Jordan Howard might be back. They may go more run heavy. Like, Tampa's going to throw. Because the other thing here is that, like, it may be a slower-paced game and the Eagles' defense may show up here. Like, we know Deshaun Watson and the Tech – no is a strong word. We highly expect that Deshaun Watson and the Texans are going to be able to move the ball against the Tampa Bay secondary.
Sure.
And so, as a result, I think the expectation here is that Jameis is going to have to throw. And by the way – back-to-back 30-point games. Like, how are you benching Jameis Winston?
I
understand the concern, but, like, how are you...
Right. He did a lot of this on the fly last week without Chris Godwin, who missed a chunk of that game. I get it. It was indoors, but they're playing at home. Why there shouldn't be a concern?
The Houston Texans are 30th against fantasy quarterbacks so far this year, giving up 21.1 points per game.
I like it. Give me more of that.
You know what I mean? You think Jameis Winston throws for 450 yards again? Extends the streak to three straight games?
Probably not.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Hope so. I have Winston going in a number of finals. I need him. Come on, baby. Come on, famous Jameis. It's been a rocky road for us. It's been an up and down relationship, but we can end this strong. Let's go, brother. Here we go. Come on, my friend.
He's the kind of guy that could have 7 TDs and 4 picks in the game.
Oh, yeah. I'm in for that.
100%.
And 450 yards.
I saw some tweet on Twitter. I forget who put this out there. I apologize because it's not me. But somebody said something like the effect of, like, he is, Jameis has thrown a pick on the first series in like 5 games.
Yeah.
And the Buccaneers have gone 4-1 in those 5 games.
Amazing.
So it's almost like the whoever tweeted
it. He has a short memory, if nothing else.
Unbelievably short memory, but it's also almost like it gets him into the game or something like that. Look, the Bucs are 7-7. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they've got a chance.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like,
they could take the NFC East.
they certainly could. Like, they're eliminated from the playoffs, but they could finish 9-7 and feel good about what they're building in Tampa Bay.
Next question comes from Bryce. It says, should Mike Clay watch the Marvel movies in the order that they were released or in chronological order?
If you don't mind, I'd like to handle this one.
Go ahead.
Just, you know, as someone who, is a star of a Marvel movie and the MCU, you should watch Avengers Endgame, which is now available on Disney Plus. I'm a company man. And so this is very, very good question, and this is one that I've discussed privately with Mike Clay, so I'm happy to do this publicly as well. There's no question on the – if you are new to the MCU, which is what Mike Clay is, you absolutely, absolutely should take advantage of the fact that you've missed the last 10 years and watch them in chronological order. So in other words – so like one of the the second-to-last movie in the MCU, or at least the last phase, was Captain Marvel. Right. That was the movie before Endgame. But like, that's the second one chronologically. It takes place in the 80s. Like, you start with Captain America, the First Avenger, which I think was like the fifth movie that came out in the series. Like, cause the very first one would be Iron Man. in terms of release date, it goes like Iron Man 2, Hulk, I think. But I would watch them in chronological order, so because you will appreciate the story so much more. So it starts with Captain America: The First Avenger, then Captain Marvel, and then you go from there.
And Matthew, you have tweeted out like a little screenshot in the past of like, here's a screenshot of the order that you should watch these movies. You can find that on Google if you just search.
Yeah, if you Google like chronological order for the MCU, there's a lot of websites that put that up there. I'll do that again too. I'll do that. But 100%, yeah, that Mike Clay told me, like, because he's never seen any of them, and he's like, I got Disney Plus, and that's like what I'm planning on doing with my off season. He's like, what order should I watch it in?
So good Mike
and I
talked about project, this. For sure.
Very good off season project. I may do that anyway. Like, I can't decide whether I want to watch all 30 years of The Simpsons. or the MCU.
My son is watching the 30 years of The Simpsons because he had never seen it at all.
Right.
And he's been taking up little projects like this on his free time once he gets done with his homework. And that's what he's been doing. So he's on season 6 or something already.
Wow.
He's rolling. Simpsons are just an absolute binge show. It's great.
So good.
Good for your son, Keith. You're raising him right.
Like,
well done. Here's my question. I have a question for you guys. So I'm struggling with this too. So Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker opens on Friday. Okay. And I get crazy busy as we all do during the football season. I have not had a chance to rewatch any of the Star Wars movies. Like I haven't seen a Star Wars movie. I watched Solo, whatever, like about a year ago, I think in the off season, but I haven't watched it since not Force Awakens, but Last Jedi. So I haven't watched a Star Wars movie since Last Jedi. Okay. And so I really wanted to actually go back, starting with episode 1 and watch them through all the way up, you know, and sort of like really kind of get into it. But my fear, I'm not going to have time to do that between now and Friday. I just don't have that time. And so, like, I have it in the off season. So the question is, do I wait till the off season till I can do that? But then, spoilers, you know
no,
what I mean?
No way. No way. You won't be able to do it.
Right.
Without being something spoiled.
Without being something spoiled on social media.
Because there's no way you're missing social media. Like you're not going
to. I have to.
You're
that's part of my job.
To take off that. So,
right. Yeah. Right. That's
just go
part
on
of
Friday.
My.
Yeah.
Just go Friday or.
I might watch The Last Jedi. Like revisit the last one.
The last so couple ones.
Bit, yeah, but I'm with you. I'm going to rewatch all of them in a row, and just power through it. But like, I don't know if I can do that before Friday. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and it's interesting because. So my friend John Paulson, you know John, who does a great job on Twitter. Anyway, so John Paulson, who's a huge Star Wars fan, him and I were texting because he tweeted out something about, I guess there's some fan edits. Like there are a couple of people that have done fan edits to the first three, you know, and like I think I'm guessing taking out a bunch of the politics stuff, right? Which is, you know, because the action sequence are awesome. And so he was just like, he tweeted out that he thought the fan edits were better, that he's done this exact same thing. He's rewatched them all. And so I've thought about that. Like I've never seen the fan edits. Like one guy apparently, you know, did a really great job at editing the first three movies, sort of re-editing them. I don't know.
I'm just excited that on Disney Plus you can watch all of the Star Wars movies in 4K, HDR 10, nice. Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. Like everything is like, it's just, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about it.
But, yeah.
All right. Keith,
you sound really
more.
Excited about it.
We have one more. I am excited about it. I'm going to fit it in before my next D&D campaign.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, I'm going Thursday night. Can't wait.
Are you really?
I am.
Nice.
So with the whole fam.
With the whole fam. Look at you. Good.
Yeah. Last question here.
Keith
is
such a good dad. I just want to like legit, like no trolling, like legit, like just genuinely because people don't know Keith that well. Keith is an awesome father.
Yep.
He is an awesome,
in
awesome
person.
Father.
In every way.
Well,
unless the kids agree with that, but yeah.
Well, by the way, that means you're doing a good job, by the way. Exactly. So I'll keep just for people at home, just Keith is an awesome father.
Last question comes from Dan. Any advice on a streaming defense for the championship? I'm assuming in this case, this question is about week 16, I'm assuming.
There you go. Field and Stream, you are the author. Yeah, I mean, we'll have Field and Stream on Friday, but for people that are looking for defenses,
I think the Broncos would be a name to keep an eye on. They play the Lions. Sorry, Daniel, about that one.
And that game is in Denver, I believe, right?
The game is in Denver. The Chiefs are good, and they've been red hot of late defensively. I believe they're still available in a good number of leagues.
That is the Sunday night game in Chicago against the Bears. So Trubisky's been a lot better, but
the Chiefs have been better so far of late as well. And then the Buccaneers.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, not the Buccaneers, but the Buccaneers, yes. Obviously, Deshaun Watson's a different level of player than they've seen of late, but the Buccaneers have been a top three fantasy defense in three of the past 4 weeks. Crazy.
It is crazy. They've played better defense. And by the way, even though Deshaun Watson, that offensive line is brutal. Yeah, like Deshaun Watson takes a lot of sacks, you know, still. And so
they laid an egg 2 weeks ago. You never know. Maybe they'll lay another one.
Yeah. And it's, by the way, it's a Saturday game. So it's a little bit of a short week.
Sure.
And they're having to travel. So the Texans are having to travel on a short week, short-ish week, because the game is Saturday. So I agree with those calls right there. And one thing that's interesting about the Chiefs defense real quickly, they've played better, right? You know, they've played better. But the other thing is, remember, the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy, is an Andy Reid disciple. He's running a version of Andy Reid's offense. And so that's an offense that the Chiefs defense see every day in practice.
Yeah, should be
so there's a little bit of an advantage there as well. There's a little bit of at least familiarity of what they're going to see.
That's correct. Thank you, Keith, for all those.
I was going to add one more thing.
Yeah,
it's worth pointing out that this afternoon you'll see Jim McCormick's streaming options column that comes out every Tuesday. In that case, he'll make sure he has you covered for this week and also for those of you in play week 17 as well.
There you have it.
Continue to do that column.
We love Jim McCormick. He does a great job, so be sure to check out that column. Last-minute streaming options later today on ESPN.com and the ESPN app, of course. ESPN Fantasy app, I should say. ESPN Fantasy app. I'm a company man.
I want to give a quick shout-out to Tillian Pearson, too, who I beat this week from Dance Gavin Dance and the crappy bands you've never heard of Fantasy League.
Mm-hmm.
I survived Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees taking on J.B. Brubaker from August Burns Red.
There you go.
For anybody that, nice. I mean, I realize you might not know who those people are.
Got to be honest, didn't feel like really a shout-out to them so much as kind of a patting yourself on the back.
Sorry about that, Tillian. My bad, buddy.
There you go. It's too bad. I was rooting for Tillian.
All right, for the crew, you know how to find us everywhere. We're back on Friday with a full preview show. There will be, if I'm not mistaken, a DFS CSS podcast later on this week. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. Get those waiver claims in.
Fantasy show up on ESPN plus the waiver show. Check that out. For Field, I'm Matthew. Peace out.
Twitter says he loves college hoops and talking tribe. Like Shefty and Secret Squirrel, he's a two-phone guy. If you're looking to start a bowling league, he already has.